Time for a midlife crisis with the Shared Desk, episode 50. Let's get ourselves a red sports car and a hot young supermodel. I don't know what you're getting, T.
Well, actually, we might be getting the model in a couple of weeks. Hey, everybody. You know what? It felt like we just did this. Oh, that's right. We did. But, you know, we had so much to talk about because we got a lot of people in the studio. It is the Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
What a cutie.
Yeah, I am.
Hot piece of old man ass.
That I am, yes. And right over there across from me.
Hi, I'm Pip Ballantyne.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
And now we're going to run down that hit list once again. First off, introduce yourself.
I'm Piper J. Drake.
Hey, little boy. I've got no cancer.
We just can't resist that drop in for you.
That's a classic.
And over here.
And right next to her, Matthew J. Drake.
I've got a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
And now, right over here.
Lauren Scribe Harris.
Where are you based?
Currently. About 5 feet from kicking your ass.
I knew you'd dig that one. And just to change it up a little bit.
Katie Brisky.
Hello, can we have your liver?
There we go.
I don't understand mine now.
That was from a Monty Python. It was John Cleese coming up to
apparently
guys.
Apparently, Katie is going to take our livers
and
when
we're
asleep. We're
going to take your liver. Yeah.
It could happen.
You know, hey, come on. You know, you got those dolls with them. So,
Lauren is a brave woman.
That she is. Yeah.
Brave or stupid? It's hard to tell.
Is the whole world gone crazy?
Probably. So, yeah. All right. So, for those of you who are just joining us on the Shared Desk, or if you're new to the Shared Desk, where the hell have you been?
We're up to 50 episodes.
We're up to 50 episodes, so you got a lot of catching up to do. But all these great people, we have never had these many people in the
studio.
We're
so excited.
This is very cool. And what happened was we said, hey, let's do a shared desk with everybody here, because it was, as I said in the last show, I said that it was, of course, New Year's, where we all got a little tipsy and we were sharing love for everybody.
I don't know half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve.
And we all walked away feeling good. You know, we even had the road food.
What the heck is that?
Oh, it's broccoli on pizza.
That's it. I'm done.
And we said, okay, so let's go downstairs and let's record a shared desk. And let's look back on 2015 and then look ahead to 2016. Well, we got to the 2015 part, and I'm watching the time just tick up, tick up, tick up. And I said, okay, we can either do a two-hour show, or knowing how frequent we post on the
let's get some bonus content.
Let's get some mileage out of these house guests.
Yes, squeeze.
We've been cooking, we've been cleaning, we've been doing all this crap for them. Let's make them work.
Squeeze them for information.
Now, wait a minute. You did not cook by yourself.
That's true.
I believe you came down this morning to see me doing the dishes.
Yeah, Katie and I totally cleaned up after the party. So.
Hey, to all of you people.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Thank you. So, okay. So we decided to make break.
Well, we don't know when we'll have this many exciting people in the house again.
So many creative people.
That's a much nicer way of putting
that
it.
That is. No, actually, I will say this. I have been, not only have I been enjoying this, I know Pip has been enjoying this.
Yeah, what did Sonic Boom say tonight when we put her to bed? She goes, I don't want it to end.
Yeah. Oh, you guys missed her. Well, I told Matt
that
about.
Didn't affect me at all.
No.
Oh, no.
I think you got something in your eye. You got something in your eye, bro. No, it was the thing was the bedtime prayer that Boom unleashed on me. This was the kind of prayer. I mean, this was the kind of prayer that was.
I think she could go to seminary.
I was ready for Stuart Shatt and Vinny Lannis and our priests over at Trinity Episcopal Church. That's trinityepiscopal.org. I was expecting them to just be knocking on the door, going, "All right, we're ready to pick her up," because it was like
to this, seminary with you.
Wow. I mean, and I looked at her, and she was just like, "I've just been having a great time."
So what did she say?
People.
She said, something about
she thanked
all the
Lord
wonderful people
for
in
all
our
the
lives.
Wonderful people that come into our lives, and she said, "And I'm so blessed to have to be part of this community." And I'm looking at her like, I'm wondering if she didn't sneak down here one day when I was at work and read some of my old podcasting magazines.
Yes.
Because she was sounding a lot like columns from CeCe Chapman and people like that, you know? So I was a little.
Blogging,
greatness or a seminary.
Yeah, one or the other. One or the other.
Or both.
Or both. Or both. Yeah. I Padre. He was big in the
Well,
we
found Trinity because Vinny blogs.
Yeah, Vinny blogs. Vinny blogs and has a wicked good blog. Mm. So all right. So but the thing was that it's been great just having all of you guys here, and then we have
Sebastian agrees.
We've been having these breakout sessions where I was not expecting to get any word count after you guys arrived, and I think I've clocked in like 3,000 words since you've been here, nice. Because we have been actively. We talked about it in 2015, but in 2016 so far, we have been consistent in saying, okay, this time when you guys visit, we're actually going to sit down and write.
There have been many words,
and we've still been having fun. I mean, just a quick movie review, Matt. I introduced you last night to Ex Machina. Give me a quick sum up. What did you think of it?
I don't. Mm.
Good. Thanks. Great. Okay. So, that's
thanks
perfect.
For that ringing endorsement.
Stay on.
In all honesty, it made me have a dream that I actually recalled the next day,
yeah.
Which is weird for me. So it really made me think deep things, and the tension and the soundtrack. And
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you should.
The weird thing though was I really don't think it was the best of timing because I introduced Matt to Ex Machina, which stars Oscar Isaacs, and I'm blanking on the other
gentleman. The redhead Weasley.
And then we went to go see...
All the Weasleys.
They're all
are
redheads.
Well, he was
Hux from Force Awakens.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, but I think that the Weasley that we're talking about, to just narrow it down...
He's one of the twins.
I believe he was one of the twins. I don't know which one, but he was one of the twins. So anyway, he's playing Hux, and it was just weird seeing these two guys...
No.
Yeah.
Hux in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's
the two guys.
That's Brendan Gleeson's son.
Dumal Gleeson.
Okay, well, the two guys that were in that were the principals in Ex Machina are now in Force Awakens.
Poe Dameron and Hux.
Yes. So Poe Dameron, watching Poe Dameron and Hux, and then watching them again today, it was just surreal. But it was very, very cool. So. So anyway, yeah, good stuff. We've been having a great time with you guys being here, and now we are going to get a second show out of taking advantage of all you guys, and we're going to talk about 2016, and we're talking about what we want to accomplish because in the previous show, we talked about what we accomplished in 2015 and how we accomplished it. So now we're going to talk about 2016, and I want to go ahead. I started with PJ. Piper J. Drake on the 2015 look back. I want to start with Katie this time on 2016. What's on your plate? What do you want to get done in 2016?
So when I go down to Maine next week, I will have a bit more free time because I'm graduating. So I'll use this time. Ooh. In Maine.
Wait a minute. Oh, I got one for that. Hold on a minute.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah. That's right.
To start a novel.
Yeah.
So I'll have time. I'll be in a hotel in Maine. Freeport's a nice town, but it's also not that big. So it's my ample free time to start a novel, which I hope to have finished maybe by March. I write fast when I have nothing else to do.
You write faster than George R. R. Martin. So,
you went there.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry, everybody.
You're welcome. Shut up.
So, okay. I just had to get that off my chest. Okay,
In March, we'll find out whether or not we got the grant for my one-woman audio drama.
Can you tell us anything about that one-woman audio drama?
Yeah, I did a show on it with you guys.
That's right.
Yes.
Several weeks or
if only
ago.
He could remember that far ago.
Well, no, we have it in the hopper because I believe we talked about it.
No, it was one I did with you guys. It was a show actually on grant writing.
Yes. Oh, that one. Yes, you're right.
It was an entire show devoted to this project, actually.
I think the reason why I blacked out that entire show and that entire weekend was because I had my first run, like me... it was the Dogfish Dash. I was nervous as hell. So I apologize about that. Yes, we have a grant writing show, and you talked about it in great detail. You can find that out in our show notes. We'll point it back.
Yeah, so if we get the money, it's all good. We'll start recording. If not, we'll still start recording, and we'll just release it on Audible.
There you go.
I miss playwriting. I miss it. And, like, audio drama is great, and it kind of scratches that itch I have for writing scripts, but it doesn't do it completely. So the Fringe Festival in Toronto, they have a lottery in the fall for submitting plays. So I'd like to have something done and ready to go by then.
Oh, wow.
And Dave Robison,
Dave.
Many of us work with and have podcasted with. He's the new audio guy for Ed Greenwood's shared worlds, epic, many settings thing. And I have a few novels that I have to have done for that. I won't write them yet, but I'd like to make headway on actually plotting them. Because at the moment, they're in the I bluffed a pitch stage.
Hey, Ed, hope you aren't listening to this.
Hey! I do have... like a rough, yeah. I have a trilogy with a rough kind of through.
Yeah.
None of my stuff is due until 2017.
Oh, it's fine.
It's rough. Yeah. It's rough. Yeah. It's rough, you know?
Barely need to think about it.
Kind of like the floor in Die Hard when it's covered in glass. It's just a little prickly. No big deal. We'll talk now. What I want to do is I want to go about and go talk about everyone's plans, goals, and then we'll double back like we did last time, and we'll talk about how we want to accomplish those goals. What are the tools we want to use to make that happen? Yeah. So Lauren, 2016. What is the big goal? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to make happen?
Well, there are two phases of this. The first phase is to actually get my degree and get licensed in echocardiography or cardiac ultrasound.
We go into great detail on that in the previous show, so you can check that out.
Yes.
It involves lube.
It does. Goop. And chests. So be excited. And the other side of that is to get second drafts done for the two books that are currently finished first drafts and to finish the two audiobooks that I'm currently recording. And Katie and I are writing...
That was adorable.
That was so fun to watch.
Katie and I are currently writing a musical called Podcast the Musical.
The Podcast Musical.
Yes.
I really wish you guys could have seen that. It was like an episode of 24. You know how Jack Bauer was giving hand signals.
Just like a hey.
But it was adorable. It was way more adorbs. It was as if Jack Bauer was talking to Hello Kitty. I mean, it was just very cool.
Yes, Katie gave her a big
Jack Bauer
smile
Hello
like,
Kitty
in this metaphor.
I don't know.
Kitty, I want you to say hello. If you don't, I will shoot you in the thigh.
I think I'm Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I think you are.
I'm Jack Bauer. Yes, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
I'm Jack Bauer, eh? Okay. And she's being modest. She is also going to be appearing on a ridiculous book cover, novella cover, coming up in a few weeks.
Which will not be nearly as modest as I'm currently.
No,
being.
It won't be. It will.
Don't
not,
spoil the surprise.
I'm not. The password is pineapple. Pineapple.
It will involve a pineapple and another woman.
Yes, and another woman, a lovely lady who's going to be on this podcast probably later on
in a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks, we're very excited about it. We will hold that for the next show.
Stay tuned.
Matthew Drake. Yes. What about you? Now this is a nice thing. I've seen, and it's because Pip brought it up. You went to a writing retreat.
Yes.
As a plus one.
Indeed.
And Pip, I'm going to let you...
You emerged as a writer. You went in as a plus one, came out a writer.
So what are you working on? And are you planning to have it done by 2016, or is this a long-term goal thing?
Well, it's interesting. I should start out by doing a little bit of self-therapy in front of everyone.
Speaking of
feel
cute,
free.
Speaking of cute... Peach looks like she's about to burst.
She looks like an anime, like...
I mean, I want to... I see the little flashes, but, you know, like... You know, that's what I see. Okay, Matt, go for it. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I was...
distracted by that.
Just enjoying some things. Yeah, there we go. Self-therapy.
The password is therapy. Therapy.
So, yep.
Okay.
So I am at that unfortunate... transition point in my life, unfortunate, where I'm not positive what I want or where I want to be 5 years from now. And I used to know. And that is the weird thing. I'm not that old yet, honestly, but I used to have an entire life plan. Everything laid out. In 5 years I'll do this, in 10 years I'll do that.
I never had that.
You are so darling.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. And I knew it was perhaps a fallacy, but I always drove forward with, but I'm the exception, because that's what young people think.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and...
Ah, youth.
Yeah, actually, when it came to that sort of decision-making, it was pretty clear.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, John, no.
I'll drive.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I always appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, so what? So it means that am I going to go in the direction of writing, because it's something I've always actually felt like I'm okay at, not on the level of like published, but it's something that I've enjoyed, and the more. The deeper I get dragged into your world.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yes, darling.
But the things, but the things that await you in this world.
That's what's waiting for you, man. That's what's waiting for you.
I think he's already got that.
All right, so dragged, led on by a carrot. Same thing.
So you're dabbling in the writing.
Dabbling in the writing. Right. At the same time, I'm still doing schoolwork. At the same time, I'm still exploring different opportunities as far as cross-training goes, because the federal government has multiple programs that allow you to transition from Air Force to maybe FBI, maybe State Department, maybe Navy. There's all sorts of opportunities in front of me, and I don't have enough time in the day to apply to all of them and to put my full effort into everything that I'm thinking about doing, so I have to narrow my focus. That is my January goal. By February 1, I will know what I'm doing with this year.
There we go. Fair enough. Now, on top of all that, if I remember correctly, and I didn't know if you've retired this, because I know for a while you went to like VidCon a couple of times, you were involved with Twitch. You were doing a StarCraft channel, if I remember correctly.
Yes. I mean, so through Twitch, you can play video games and essentially make money. And it was something that I was doing for a time, and I stepped back from. I'm still involved in video games, but I'm more in the background with that. I'm involved with some alpha tests and some beta tests, and able to get like basically scratch that itch over there. The problem is that I like to travel too much to be successful on something like Twitch, because the expectation is that like you're on between these times every single day,
right?
And you tell people like, this is my Monday schedule, my Tuesday schedule, so on and so forth, and I don't enjoy that. I like to be able to go, I'm gonna go down to Virginia and visit these Morris people.
Well, those Morris people.
It's the whole world gone crazy!
Yeah, okay, well, there you go.
So I'm backing away from that. I'm looking at doing some audio stuff. Actually, Lauren and I, just in between these two podcasts, which were definitely spaced out a lot, we're having a discussion that I look forward to continuing, because ACX is something that I didn't know about. The deeper you go into the world, the more you encounter things that everyone else knows and you didn't.
Yep.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yosemite?
Exactly.
Yosemite.
So, going over to She of Many Names, including the inappropriate nickname that we like to give around here, Second Asian Wife.
Oh, hi.
Hello. But, oh, hang on, sorry.
Inappropriate.
Yes, it was.
Too far, T.
I know. There's the line. I'm on the other side waving back. Piper J. Drake, PJ Schneider. First off, congratulations. It was so nice to get a copy of your... Oh, dear. She's doing it again, isn't she? Oh, I don't have that one over here. But anyway.
What?
January 26th.
Yeah, January 26th. It was your new book.
Yes.
Your new book is out.
First of the year.
Yeah.
So the first book of the year is Extreme Honor, coming out from Grand Central Publishing. It is my first traditional book in print.
Woo! Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wait, Harry. I got some of that. Hold on.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, Extreme Honor is the first of five. You heard it.
Five. God, hang on. One more time.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Five releases for Piper J. Drake, all full-length novels.
Jeez.
Three of which are print for the True Hero series, and the other two are for the Safeguard series, and those are digital first out of Karina Press.
All right.
So obviously 2015 was writing those.
And now she needs a nap.
Now 2016.
No, now she needs to promote them. Then she can have the nap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just stole it from me. It's one of those things where a lot of aspiring authors don't realize that once you write the book,
it's and not
once
done.
You edit the book, there is this huge amount of promotional effort that needs to go into it. And it's not just your publisher's responsibility.
You have
to develop a promotional strategy.
Yep.
And execute that promotional strategy.
Yep.
And it is not a one-day thing.
Yep.
Yep.
So this is like, you know, we're talking about blitzing. 2 weeks after the release, and moving forward. We're talking about appearances, planning convention appearances. We're talking about all the things to make yourself accessible to the readers who may be interested in you, and trying desperately not to read the reviews if you can possibly help it.
Yeah.
And through all that, you got to put on your best game face. Even when you don't want to put on your best game face, you got to look at these readers and go, you are all a potential reader, and I don't want to mess this up, because more people tend to buy books by people that they've met, and they go, hey, I really liked this. I really liked this person. They were kind to me. I would like to go on ahead and buy their book. That being said, it doesn't always work out like that, but still, it's part of the gig now.
And yeah. Having alter identities, Piper J. Drake has been very, very busy. You know, and one of my goals for 2016 is to also get another proposal out there, because it's not just about what's coming next. Yeah. Right?
What's coming next?
So proposals, preparing proposals for more series or continuations of the current series. I'm getting those done, and I have a goal, not a New Year's resolution, a goal to get those proposals done by first quarter of this year, so that my agent has them to let me know if they need work or if they can be circulated. And then as PJ Schneider, I have two nifty projects. One is an anthology, which I am editing with Linnea Sinclair, as an exclusive release for 2016's RT Book Lovers Convention's Intergalactic Bar and Grill reader event. So that is a sci-fi anthology that we're doing. And I believe T will have a story in it.
I'm working on it.
You owe me a story, Morris.
Yeah, I know, I do.
At the very least, it is helping to be moved along by One Stop Writer Shop.
Yeah, there you go. That is true. That is true.
And then another project that Pip and I have been talking about that we're thinking... We've got a soft goal to get this out by the end of the year.
It's very fishy.
It is very fishy.
Do I know anything about the soft goal, or am I just along for the ride?
We're taking a cliff dive, and we're going to go for a mermaid anthology towards the end of the year.
Something for next Christmas, you know, holidays.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a surprise.
Expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nor do they expect an anthology. So there you go.
Surprise mermaid anthology.
He's got to stay alive.
Suddenly, mermaid. wow. Okay, then. And then there's us. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory what we're going to be doing in 2016. We've got this little book called The Ghost Rebellion that we got to finish.
Yes, we also have Countless Hues of Crimson.
We've got Countless Hues of
Thank you very much for making that happen.
Pineapple.
And pineapple. And
then we got to start writing on Operation Endgame.
And then we got to start working on Operation Endgame.
And I'm finishing off Ministry 7 in the Silver Set.
Curse of the Silver Pharaoh. Curse of the Silver Pharaoh.
And I want to get that out in May.
I would love to say that I'm going to get the I have to finish the novella that I'm working with for PJ, and of course the novel and all that stuff, and then there's lurking in the back of my brain is the project that I started back at the original at the very first Smoky Mountain Writers, which was Wolf in the Fold.
Can take it to Smoky this year.
I may take it to Smoky and actually rework it, because I got a bit of inspiration from my spirit animal, Chuck Wendig. I like the third person present tense that he writes in.
Oh no!
I know, sacrilege. I'm seeing Lauren is down. I repeat.
Why did you not tell me this before I married you?
Lauren Scribe Harris is down.
Send any offers to Beta Read.
Hold on a minute.
And get the machine that goes. Bing.
Yeah, we got to bring that in. Now I think it would work for urban fantasy. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We had that discussion upstairs, and you of course cracked the whip on that when I said I hate first person POV, and then this snarky New Zealand voice pipes in, "You wrote in first person POV." It's because it was Bilbo Baddings, and it was noir. It was the gumshoe detective, you know. And I personally think that works.
So you're gonna write third person
present. No, honey, it's warm in here.
You're wearing a sweater.
I'm wearing a sweater. I'm not wearing a sweater.
I'd like to point out that I've had my arms crossed because I'm cold, and Lauren put clothes on.
Fine.
Yes, suck it up, Morris.
I'll sweat for my art. It's been like this all weekend.
Right.
It's been me and Matt and Benedict and Bast. Bast, of course, has been brown-nosing to the ladies, but we have been outnumbered all freaking weekend.
He's allowing things to be stacked on his head.
That's one of my next goals. I want to be able to stack things on Sebastian's head.
Stop
He's got up to 4 bottle caps.
Stop it. So anyway, I'm thinking about reworking Wolf in the Fold. I would love to be able to say that I'm going to finish it, but the thing is, we've also got to compile because we're approaching Countless User Crimson in a very interesting way. We have to compile, then edit it, and then of course there's the Ghost Rebellion, and then of course there's Operation Endgame. Those are the big goals for 2016.
And I was going to put out a book on for Christmas. It'll either be Immortal Progeny or it could be Deadly Hollywood.
And there's also the concept because of how successful.
Oh, we've also got to do audiobooks for all of these.
Yeah, there's also the audiobooks we're going to be doing for all these. And on top of all that, I've also got to write. I finally, because of the success of the Kickstarter, I now have to write.
Oh yes, Red.
Little Red Flying Hood. Which is going to be Little Red Riding Hood, steampunk, set in World War I.
Because we realized that we've written 3 novellas, steampunk fairy tales.
Yeah, and we need a 4th one to round it out and put on Audible. So I'm putting out this Little Red Flying Hood.
Oh, wow.
So on top of that, yeah, so I've got all that going on. And on top of that, so Kickstarter, real quick. We've had 2 huge successes. You know, this person is involved over there was involved in the first Kickstarter success. Lauren, in her own way, well, actually, a lot of you are going to be involved in the recent Kickstarter success.
He said this person, like you could see who it was.
I know.
And then
on top of all that, there was the Kickstarter failure that I had with the Curse of Dillinger's Diamond.
I thought that was a good learning experience, though.
It was fantastic. As a matter of fact, Katie was a big part in helping me put it all together.
I was about to say failure.
No. She didn't get her Canadian funk on it, but she did actually. She did pick up some great video, some mad video editing skills with me when we put together the proposal. And the thing was, though, with the 2 successes and the 1 failure, I actually am tempted to write crowdfunding for writers with Pip. And that's the proposal that I'm...
Hello, Writer's Digest people. Remember us?
Surprise mermaid. Surprise social media book.
surprise crowdfunding book. So these are all the goals. Now, here's the big question, though. How are we going to accomplish all these things? Let's start with Piper J.
I wanted to really quick interject with...
You go ahead. Surprise mermaid?
Surprise
beer?
Lovely hosts here. They neglected to mention the fact that probably come the end of 2016, they're going to have remodeled every room in this house.
I'm talking just writer's goals, bro. Just writer's goals. That was, you know, that the DIY project last year was hella fun.
Well, yeah, it took up most of summer, so I think we're not doing anything that big this year.
No,
so.
we can't afford to because we got some deadlines coming up.
Deadlines to do, but hey, if a wall changes color.
It might happen. Random DIY. Boom. So Paige, the projects that you want to have accomplished, how are you going to make that happen?
All right, so when it comes to, let's say, the prioritization first, deadlines come first. Contracts where you get paid come first.
Money.
So when it comes down to it, I keep track of my deadlines, and I still have a deadline February 1st, and I still have a deadline in July. So both of those are big red reminders in my paper day planner as well as my electronic calendar. So I do use Google. I have a Gmail account, so I use Google Calendar to keep track of important dates. And I have it send me reminders, not just the day before.
That book you've written, it's due tomorrow.
Yeah, so I get a week in advance notice of, hey, you might want to be in revision stage by now. You know, it's just to keep an eye on things. And then I also have any.due, which I mentioned before, which gives me personal task lists. So that helps out. I have no idea what somebody just handed me cat fur.
Do you have,
passing that around.
Is any.do, does that have a website?
I think it's any.do.
Yeah, it's literally that, yep.
.com.
No, it's any.do, and it just redirects to where you need
A-N-Y
to
A-N-Y.do.
Okay.
And then, so that is an app and a desktop, like a web kind of thing. I also use my day planner, and my current day planner is an Erin Condren day planner. That makes me happy at the beginning of every month. That also includes a dashboard with my deadlines in it so I can see that. And here's the other thing that's always fun about being a writer is not only are you hitting a deadline to hand in your draft, you've got these stickers that are movable. They're repositionable because you don't know when your edits are going to come in. You just kind of drop a sticker on your calendar when you think they're going to come in.
What was ours? Ours was like 7 months. We got the Diamond Conspiracy. We got the first draft. 7 months later, they said, hey, here's your revisions. 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, two weeks. And you're in the middle of drafting something else. We're like, what? So at any given time, I could have to take 2 weeks out to do the revisions on another manuscript, and that's for all of my books. So the day planner comes in handy for those visuals. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing that I do. One of the other things that I do is Scrivener saves my life book to book, and part of that is because I can use Scrivener not only to write a single book, but use it as a series Bible.
Yep.
So if I need to remember what that character looked like 3 books ago, that happens so that I can tie my books in, tie my series in, go back to certain nitpicks or things. One thing I found myself doing in Scrivener a lot in the last book, which, you know, I almost died meeting that deadline right before, between Christmas and New Year's, was go back and try to figure out what kind of rifle one of my snipers used and what kind of ammunition went into that rifle, because it mattered for the second book. Mm. It mattered a lot because we had a ballistics report and I need to know if it was that sniper or not.
And this is one of the moments where she goes, hey, what was that sniper that we talked about? And I go, did you need something from the store?
So he ran away and I opened Scrivener. So Scrivener series Bible. Yes, that's a thing. That's a helpful thing. Also, Evernote. Mm-hmm. Is another app / desktop / can open it and sync on multiple platforms that I use to keep myself notes, especially when I'm on a plane. You're allowed to use personal electronics now, smaller than a laptop, and it can go into airplane mode and then resync once you get back online again, once you've landed on the ground. So if I have random notes that come to me at that point in time when I can't be on my laptop, Evernote has really helped me just write down those notes or jot those notes, or if I've overheard something random on a plane, which I do tweet those occasionally, but if it's inspiring a plot bunny, I do use Evernote to take notes for that. And also sort of brainstorm crap I have to organize. Like RT has an entire Evernote file just because that convention and planning that convention requires so much advanced planning.
I'm so scared of the convention. I'm terrified.
Yeah. From your plan, like your panels, to your to the reader events and what you're bringing to the reader events, and then to what you're promoting, and again we tie back to planning for promoting the book.
Yep. I've heard nothing but great things about Evernote, and I really want to actually start looking seriously into getting into that. But I totally agree with your stuff concerning Scrivener. Any of your thoughts, Pip?
No.
Nope.
I got no thoughts.
No. Get the machine that goes ping. All right, going back to Matthew. Matthew, what about you? What are you going to do to accomplish some of these goals that you're... Well, first you got to figure out what your goals are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
So figure January. Out
so you got till January. How are you going to make January work for you, Sparky?
I'm going to totally ignore that question and just mention that one of the important aspects of Scrivener, because I have just learned how to use it now and I think that it's awesome, is that it can integrate with Dropbox.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cloud is your friend.
We've had that before where we were like, oh my gosh, what happened? Where's that version? There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been
lifesaver.
That's the only time that Scrivener has ever failed us. Is when I open up a file, it pops up.
When we're both working in a file, there's some chance of somebody writing over something else. And that's why we have versions. We love Scrivener.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I actually have.
So regardless of whatever else I end up doing, I am going to be pushing out my website, hatsofmat.com.
Oh, yay.
Hey.
Yep.
Okay.
My plan was to have that out by January 1. That didn't happen. So it is going to happen, and it's going to be a place where I'm going to start blogging and start putting our podcast, Mango Rice, in.
Because that's going to start coming out more regularly.
Yes, it is.
Whoa.
You're welcome. Shut up.
There you go. Okay, great. Awesome.
And various other things like that. So an important aspect for me for keeping track of things and for moving forward technology-wise is just the fact that having a working smartphone with additional storage space. So, I mean, I want to preach for a moment from someone who enjoys technology, is that if you think your smartphone is dumb and it's not working well for you, then you should have bought a better model to begin with.
Like an iPhone.
Whatever it is, it needs to have additional storage space. Your expectation should be that you're only occupying one-third of its potential space.
Right.
And this is physics. We don't have to go into it, but you want it to run smoothly. You want to put everything on there.
I agree.
Most of my life is run through technology. I hate paper. I don't understand printing things off anymore. The year is 2016, people. So
I'm about to punch you. Well,
nice segue. Okay, Lauren. Little Miss Meek,
she
mild,
loves paper.
Peaceful.
She's been hanging out with me.
There you go. Yeah.
I've been hanging out with the angry Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. She is the
one and only angry Canadian.
She is the disciple of Miss Ives.
would it have been scarier had I said, "Bless your heart"? Oh, you went there.
Man, bless your heart. I'd be like, "Oh crap, someone's gonna get shivved." So
you
Lauren,
love paper.
Yeah.
I do love paper, and I love doing things analog. And a lot of my my calendar is analog. It's a day planner. Much like PJ Piper's, and I also
kind of like that PJ Piper.
PJ Piper, that's
PJ Piper picked a pickleball player.
Do you
anyway,
mind?
Sorry. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Right.
Inappropriate.
Okay. Yes. It's interrupting. It's what I do.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
See? So, okay, now...
When you look like Robert Downey Jr., you may interrupt me.
I thought I was supposed to look like Oscar Isaacs.
Okay, that too.
Wow.
That too.
At the same time. You were saying, you're analog. You like your analog.
I do.
I like your paper.
I like my paper for planning things.
Okay.
I like my planner. I like my notebook that has all of my... it's my version of the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a whiteboard with all my plans in it. I have a notebook, a creative projects notebook. It has everything from the audiobooks that I'm working on, and I have a checkbox for every chapter that I complete and every retake set of set of retakes that I do for each chapter. I have all of my scene numbers written out for every project, the revision notes for those projects in that notebook.
So why can't you do it digitally?
Update it. If I do it for whatever reason, if it's digital, I won't update it. And I've tried almost all of the apps that that Piper and Matt are talking about, and I forget they're there.
Yeah, I'm like that actually.
What kind of keyboard, though, are you using? Are you just using, like, the input with your thumbs on the screen with the haptic feedback?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is like a thing that there is research on. The tactile feedback from using something like a mechanical keyboard can actually give you the feeling of when you're writing down on pieces of paper, and you actually retain it better.
And you see now, and somewhere in there, I feel like I'm caught in a weird way, because I too love having paper. I too love having stuff written out.
Yeah.
But I also forget to update it. But if it's there, if it's digital, if I have it within reach,
mm-hmm.
I can update it like that. So I find this fascinating.
I never go anywhere without my planner.
Interesting.
And my creative notebook if I'm planning to get anything done.
So you're
right now I'm on break from school and all those things, so I purposefully didn't bring it so I wouldn't get hung up on it.
So your creative planner is pretty much your smartphone.
What? No, backwards.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, your creative planner is very much like your smartphone.
It's
you don't leave home without it.
Yeah, I also don't leave home without my smartphone. But that's
I know that's different. But you get where I'm going.
You gotta
get
the Tumblrs and the Podaemon.
When I'm doing all my planning and needing to know like what do I do next for each project, I have to have my planner with me, and I have to have my creative notebook. My creative notebook can come and go because I can update that later.
Right.
But I have to have my planner with me.
I just realized something.
And I do all of my creating on digital devices.
You're like a female modern day Henry Jones
instead of the diary that's got the secret and all the stuff about the about the Holy Grail, you have your day planner with all the projects, and maybe the Holy Grail is in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah. Okay. And but it works with you. It works for you.
It does work for me, and that helps with pretty much everything. And but I have to do everything creatively, either in some form of digital. So,
right.
I like I said, I carry my smartphone with me everywhere. Partly that's because at any point in time, I could get a slew of stories. I'm an assistant editor for Orson Scott Card's Intergalactic Medicine Show. So at any point in time, I could get anywhere from 8 to 30 stories that I have to turn around in 2 weeks and accept or reject with notes and stuff like that. So I usually do that reading. I forward it to my Kindle, or I always forward it to my Kindle, or and I pull it up either in my Kindle app on my phone or my Kindle Paperwhite, and I usually have that with me. So I have that, and then I also do the work on my laptop for writing, and you know, in my audio booth for recording. So I wear a lot of different hats.
Right. Now the audio booth. Did you actually have that constructed for you? Was that something you put together yourself? Did you do some research? How did that work out?
Are you in a closet? Are you in a box?
Yeah. I am in
Are you in a blue box with a madman?
the box is actually blue, yes. yes. It is my audio TARDIS. But it's actually a 6x6 box built out of 2x4s and some kind of foam.
Oh yeah.
My parents actually constructed for me. No, not acoustics foam, the problem.
Oh, interesting.
My parents actually constructed for me without any consultation of what was required for an audio booth.
So they just made foam?
Pretty much. I mean, my dad is an audio person, so he should know better.
Yes.
He's a musician, so he should know better.
We'll call that.
So yeah. But they constructed that, and I was very thankful for
That's
it.
Very
and,
sweet.
You know, with some down comforters thrown over it. Yep. And recently I'm doing a book.
It must be lovely in the summer.
Oh, and when you can't run air conditioner.
Yes.
Oh, and in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You must love winter.
I had to stop.
That's why your
through.
Skin is so lovely, because your pores
audio sauna.
are just
the audio sauna.
The audio sauna.
Well, that's all makeup, hun. So. that's all a lie.
No, the cake is a lie. I can't handle this.
Okay, well then my face is a fallacy. So
makeup isn't a lie. It's a fun way to represent yourself.
Yes.
All right, kids, come on. We're losing it.
Damn. We're in a tight spot. All right.
Okay.
So the way I intend to accomplish my goals in 2016 is to study my ass off, because the major thing that I've got to do, to the exclusion of everything else, even all the creative stuff, is get licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Finish my degree and get licensed, because that is going to support the launch of the writing career. So what's important is making sure I can have a roof over my head.
So that's the foundation, and
so
then you're
going to
put the pretty creative stuff on later.
The passion is going to surround the necessities at this point.
Fair enough.
So
when do you anticipate
going to be health insurance?
Yes.
When do you anticipate you will be done with, you know, licensed, bonded?
Well, I will have I will finish school on August 4th. And I can actually take my board exams 60 days before I graduate. So with any luck, I will already be a licensed cardiac sonographer on August 4th, when I have my degree in my hand. I will be a licensed cardiac sonographer. That is my plan.
Mm-hmm.
I will not have necessarily a job at that point, though I may.
Yes.
Some people do end up getting jobs before they graduate.
Okay.
So we will see.
And now we got the Canuck. You've got all these things happening coming at you in 2016, but also all these the grants and everything. What are the tools that you're going to use to make these goals happen?
Coffee.
Yeah. Coffee. Large amounts of coffee, right?
A really good French press.
I'd like a slow clap for that answer.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Very nice.
But
very nice.
And booze.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Yeah, okay.
I do not drink when I'm working because when I have had something, I'm such a lightweight, I'm usually done. Yes.
Friends don't let friends drink and write.
No, but I feel like she's a Canadian lightweight. For America, the conversion.
Right, yeah. I'm a metric lightweight.
She's a metric lightweight, yeah, exactly.
But it's coffee, because there are X number of hours in a day, and programming apps and scheduling apps are great, but at the end of the day, you still need to be able to put bum in chair and write and get it done.
That's.
So, time.
Time and coffee to get more time. Mm-hmm. But also, looking at the structure of my year, much like how Lauren functions on the academic year, I function on a completely different calendar to anyone else, because the season at Black Creek runs from May 1st to December 23rd, with a week in March break, which means that for 4 months of a year, I am gainfully unemployed. And I say gainfully because that is my creative time. Right. So if there is something like a novel, or say a play that needs a lot of buckle down time to do, I find it easier to do it in the 4 months that I've got off, because my job is very physical, and this is something I learned this year, is that in the height of summer, when we've got longer hours, we're performing more, I come home and I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Granted, I was anemic for most of it. We found that.
It's good to be able to know so that we can adjust for that.
Yeah. So that actually did help, so getting that sorted.
The Canadian more iron.
Yeah. Yes.
More beer. More dark beer for you.
More dark beer. Steak and stout.
But say, scheduling my year is such that maybe I'm not doing the bulk of my creative work in the summer. Maybe I'm doing it in the off season or in September, October, because the tourists have gone, but the school kids haven't come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the load tends to be a little bit lighter.
Yeah, I mean that has been the 800-pound gorilla for me. I know, and with the success of the Kickstarter, I kind of feel like I feel the pressure, because I have to. I'm holding down the day job. I don't mind the day job. I enjoy my day job, but at the same time, There are points where I would rather be writing. I would much rather be writing. And I come home from the day job, and as Matt pointed out with the traffic, a 19-20 mile trek could take me anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on traffic.
Freaking ridiculous.
Which is freaking ridiculous. And then when I walk in the house, I am exhausted. And then by the time we get boom to bed, I'm like, I got to get in at least 1,000 words, and it's just the tank is empty. But lately, I have been getting I've been getting into a regimen, and
I think regimens help if you say I'm going to do this.
It's like exercise.
Divide a regimen.
I do think that regimens help, but in some cases, it's almost impossible to develop a routine. Yeah. For example,
it depends on what your demands are. I mean, Katie's got a different schedule to tea.
Right.
I mean, and you're traveling all the time.
The month of October, I literally was only home for 12 hours max. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's just how you can fit it in. I mean, I know our friend Starla Hutchin, she has 3 kids, and I know she said this before, that she sometimes locks herself in the bathroom to get writing done.
Right.
She writes for like 15 minutes on her phone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on her phone.
So she writes in bed at night as well on her phone.
Yeah. So it's very, I mean, it's like writing rules, this is how you do the craft of writing.
It's different for everybody, too. It's different for everybody.
And how you can fit it in, and you've got to work out how you can fit it in.
And there's also the brain power aspect, because you can have too little brain power to actually have any productive writing.
True.
That's when you go on social media and Instagram.
I discovered that this year that I had to edit instead of write a lot of times when I was cramming so much information about something else into my brain that I could not. I had nothing in the well to pull out.
And looking at the shape of my year as well, May is a time when we do a lot of programming development.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lucky enough that I get to do a lot of writing for my job, because we're writing the scripts for all these performances. That's going to be a time that's later on me for the stuff that I'm writing on myself at home, because I'm going to be writing so much for work.
And that's something I noticed. I've been asked in my day job to come up with more editorial content, more original content. So I'm not only doing some social media writing and some copywriting in there, but then I'm also editing the stuff that people are turning in. And by the time some people have said it's a bit like the music teacher. The music teacher, the old fallacy about the music teacher that likes to, I'll do a teaching job, and then at night, I'll work on my symphony, or I'll work on my
I'll work on my music, or I'll play a gig professionally. And suddenly these music teachers, at the end of the day, they suddenly realize, oh, wait, I got to get these grades in. I got to do this. And by the time they're done, after they've been teaching music, they're exhausted, and which is why I have nothing but respect for music teachers or teachers in general. As far as as far as being empty in the tank, I'm now approaching my writing same way I am about exercise. As you all know, we have an elliptical outside, which is right in front of a TV. And what I have to do is at 5 a.m., I've got to pull myself out of bed, get on there, and no matter how tired I am, I got to spend at least an hour and 20 minutes on that thing. So I have to, and I watch Arrow, I watch Flash, I get caught up on my TV. And there are some mornings where I'm just like, you know, that extra hour and a half of sleep, man, that tastes good. Oh, it feels so good, and it tastes so yummy. But I'm like, no, I got to get up and do it. Because I can feel the difference when I do exercise and when I don't exercise. And it's the same thing with writing. I got to get home, and no matter how exhausted I am, I just got to dig deep.
Well, that's where I find I love Write or Die. That's my application. Yes.
That's your application.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mine too. How did we not mention that?
Yes.
Well, the reason why I didn't mention it is I know it's Pip's Jam, but that's too much pressure for me.
Oh, yeah.
My brain will
shift. Productivity is brought to you by Write or Die.
I think Write or Die, you have to realize that what you're putting out is not your best work. It's not necessarily even the complete scene.
And see, I can't do that.
But it makes you good bone. It gives you the good bones. And then you can go back in and edit it and fancy it up. And,
yeah,
and
getting the
I try. No,
a lot of times the hard part is getting started, right?
So I tried
Write or Die to least even just get you started on that first couple hundred words. Yes. Then you can just take it off Write or Die, plop it in Scrivener, and go from there.
Right, and that actually goes along with exactly what we were talking about earlier with priming. And being newest to the game of writing here, I have found that to be my number one go-to strategy is I play a song, a particular song, which I'm not going to name, and that lets me know that now it's writing time.
It's the Humpty Dance, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's the Humpty Dance.
So in the same way, yeah.
Write or die. But I mean, but no, I see, the thing is, I tried Write or Die for 2 weeks and it drove me bananas. Mm. Whereas I can just sit down in Scrivener, and if I can just sit down in Scrivener and just go. And unlike Pip has I have nothing but respect for people who get the Write or Die. I've tried it. It is not my thing. However, my thing is one, I don't know how Pip does it. She can actually write while the television is on.
No, I can't. I can't do that. I don't know why you think I can do that.
Because you did it in the past.
I can, no. In that case, I've lost the ability.
Thank God. Because it drove me bananas. I was so freaking jelly.
I can edit when something is on the TV. No, I can do that.
Pip keeps the people at ID Channel gamely employed.
I do.
I love you, baby.
Yep.
I do.
I do. Well, what I tend to do is I turn off during the ads. I just mute it and then I, you know, go hardcore there. But I think with Write or Die, I need the monkey on my back screaming in my ear. I need the pressure.
I like the reward settings. I get little kittens purring.
Oh, you do little kittens. I do the screeching violins.
Besides,
screechy violins and grumpy cat.
Yeah.
Besides, we are.
Grumpy cat's good, but no, I do the kittens.
When it comes to purring cats, we already got that. We got three of them, so we're good. We're covered. We're covered.
Remember,
in purring.
I'm traveling.
You're traveling.
I gotta take
the
virtual kitties with me.
Virtual kitties.
And then when I hit my goal, I get a happy celebration puppy.
And I do. I admire people who can make Write or Die work, but I tried it and I can't.
You know, it's just like everything. You know, whatever works for you.
Nah,
sometimes, absolutely. I mean, if I just open Scrivener, sometimes I can just stare at it and go, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with Write or Die, I'm like, oh, God, I got to write something down.
Yeah.
To me, the tools that help me get it done are Scrivener. And I don't mind saying it, iTunes, because I put together playlists, or I put together magic. I find those magic finds of soundtracks, and I can write
like Penny Dreadful. Yeah.
The Penny Dreadful soundtrack. Yeah. I write to.
I do YouTube playlists.
This is an interesting thing. I used to be able to write to music. Now I can't write to music.
Wow.
At first it was I could write to music. Then it was I can't write to music where the lyrics are in English. And then I learned Japanese and it was like, well, shoot.
Then I was like, okay. K-pop.
Yeah, then I started listening to K-pop. Well, that is truth. But then I was like, okay, well, soundtrack only. And I can't even do that. Huh. I use playlists and I listen to them in the car to get my brain juices going and to prime myself for certain worlds and certain sounds and ideas. But I have to have either a background noise of like coffee shops or silence.
Oh, do you use that's another great one. Do you use that app that like simulates the noise of a coffee shop?
I think there's playlists on YouTube too. Either.
Because I start hearing where it loops.
Oh, you pick up on it.
And you see.
You are very specific.
Anything to distract yourself.
I am.
Whereas I found that I can write with lyrics, nonfiction works. I can write nonfiction and have lyrics. Mm-hmm. When it's fiction, I feel like I need some type of soundtracks. And so far, my go-to soundtracks have been The Flash, which is terrific, Ex Machina, which if I'm going to get moody, I either listen to Ex Machina or listen to Penny Dreadful. The one though that I've been trying to write to but I can't is Mad Max. If I listen to Mad Max Fury Road,
it's great for if you're writing a chase scene.
If you're writing a chase scene or an action scene, yes. The problem is I also have the desire to go.
It really slows down the ride.
It also works at work too. I mean, it's three o'clock and I can either have a cup of coffee or I can put on the Mad Max soundtrack. Okay, I'll put on the Mad Max and suddenly I can feel my pulse getting faster.
Have any of the Ministry scenes been written to the haka? Like any of the combat scenes,
yes.
Anything like that?
The rugby scenes. There was a scene in the very first in Phoenix Rising. It was set in the opera house. And I specifically made it Verdi's Macbeth because that was the one I was the most familiar with. I actually bought a copy and I was listening to it and I only wrote during the opera chapters with Verdi's Macbeth playing.
Yes.
And there were actually a couple phrases that I matched it with whatever aria I was listening to.
And then I listened to it when I did the knife scene because I freaking hate opera.
Yeah.
So it made me angry.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It made me stabby.
You should have told me you hated opera that time we drove to Balticon together and I was playing Sumi Joe.
Well, I'm from New Zealand. We don't mention those sort of things.
I'm sure she gave you the passive-aggressive signals, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, then she filmed me on Instagram singing some song as Gollum. So.
I still have the video of it.
Taken.
Yes.
There we go. So instead of having us all talk about where we're going to be in 2016, how about we just go on ahead and point people to our website
where they can find out
where they can find out where they be. So, KT Brisky.
KTBrisky.com and blackcreekbrewery.wordpress.com.
Check out KT Brisky's blog, please. She did a phenomenal blog post about Phantom of the Opera and the problem with muses, and it was a fantastic blog post.
Thank you.
Absolutely loved it. Lauren.
You can find me at www.laurenbharris.com.
All right. Matt, the one that's coming up.
Yeah, hatsofmatt.com as well as mangorice.com that I do along with Piper PJ here.
And what about your websites?
You can find me at piperjdrake.com and pjschneider.com.
There you go. You can find us all on Facebook. You can find us all on Twitter. You can find some of us on Periscope. I know I don't think I got you onto Periscope, but I know that you have hopped onto Periscope, and it's fun watching your stuff on Periscope, particularly the travel hijinks with Piper J. That's great fun. Pip, let's wrap this up. Where can they find you?
pjballantine.com, thesharedesk.com. And ministry of peculiar occurrences.com.
And I'm at tmorris.com. And you can also leave us a voicemail at 703-791-1701. Thank you guys so much for coming in here, bringing the heat level up.
Right.
Bringing the heat.
It's been great having you guys here. It's been a great bringing you into the new year. A lot of inappropriateness, a lot of cat love. It's just been fantastic. Why are you putting stuff on Bass?
That's
just rude, Mutter. That's just rude.
One of my goals.
Well, Mutter, I want you to know, Mutter, look at me. I want you to know that the Share Desk is a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike 3.0 license. I have no idea what that is. But you can find out more about it on that interwebs thing, along with pictures of kittens at creativecommons.org.
Thank you, Bass.
So until next, I have never done that before. So until next, yeah. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later.